gentlemen.
Breakfast with Friends on CCFM 107.5.
Now it's time for Story of Hope with Mark Bilton.
We're joined in studio by Mark Bilton, and he hails from Sydney, Australia. And we just give thanks to God because it was Bernie Dimet, who many of you know and love, his teachings that connected us with Mark. And Mark's here to share his personal story of hope.
It's great to be here. I enjoyed spending some time in Cape Town. Yes, I hail from, I live in Australia now, but I was born in the UK, raised in New Zealand, and then moved to Australia about 13 years ago.
So wow.
A scrambled accent. my family were not Christians, so I wasn't raised in a Christian home. We didn't even go to church. So no real Christian or church experience when I was growing up. You probably describe it as a moderately dysfunctional background. Dad was a bit of a heavy drinker. Life at home was a little bit brutal around the edges. Military guy, so I was an army brat. We traveled around a lot. So that was my life growing up. And towards my late teens, I became a very sort of angry young man, quite depressed, trying to find, I guess, some purpose and some meaning in life, and looking in the wrong places. I did end up at university, and then I started bumping into Christians, and I could not get away from them. Everywhere I went, bump into Christians. If I went to a party, the Christians would be there. If I crossed the road, I'd be attacked by some random Christian. My girlfriend became a Christian, which is very inconvenient. And it just was absolutely hounded by Christians. And meantime, my life was in a very sort of self-destructive spiral.
Talk, just before you go on, if you don't mind, Mark, talk a bit about what did you believe and what were your kind of, what was your moral compass?
Yeah, I don't, moral compass was well off center, I would probably be fair to say. No real moral framework to operate in other than just living life and doing what I wanted to do and just in, trying to enjoy, find pleasure in different things. But that was eating away at my soul. You know, I just was getting angrier and a very unpleasant individual. So these Christians would get a fair serve from me every time they tried to engage with me around God and Jesus, and I just really didn't want to know. Over a period of time, it was getting in. So you never underestimate the power of taking the time to talk to someone about Jesus. I mean, really, something was leaking in around the edges of my sort of hard exterior. Then one night I was out flatting with some friends, and one night I was in my bedroom, and I felt, no, I'm gonna commit suicide. I'm gonna check out. I've had enough of this.
Was there a specific event that?
No, nothing specific. It just sort of went just downhill over a period of time. It's just that lack of meaning and purpose, and just didn't want to live anymore. Mm. In the midst of thinking about how I would actually do that, the words of all the Christians that had been talking to me sort of came flooding back, and so I got on my knees and I said, Lord, you know, if you're real, I think I swore actually when I committed my life to Christ. I said, if you're real, then I'll give you one chance to do something with my life. So I, a very reluctant convert, bottomed my life, but genuinely just surrendered to a God I didn't know. And it was a pretty messy journey from there, the next two or three years coming out of what I was involved with. Piece by piece, I began to understand the love of a Heavenly Father, and He started putting my life back together. I've served Him as I believe as faithfully as I could for the last, well, I'm 55 now, so it's been a long time.
Yeah.
34 years.
Wow, that's incredible. Yeah. And how do you see God now? Because I can't help but think, because you were an army brat, having to travel, your dad being who he was, abusive, and obviously having to deal with the stuff that he was having to deal with, your picture of a dad, of a father, wasn't quite what God had intended.
Sure. I think that the revelation of the father heart of God is a journey. I was surprised by joy, surprised by peace, surprised by the palpable presence of God that was just loving. The physical experience of the presence of God just kind of blew my mind. I had no idea about what that was all about. But my within 6 months, my mother, my father, and my three brothers all came to Christ.
Wow.
Which we are, you know, as a family, we were all led by different people as well. So it wasn't a, you know, it wasn't a sequence of events where it was all separate experiences of God, and then we came together and realized that God had done just a miracle with his family. So yeah, it was an incredible time. Even thinking about it now, just that the family is a living, breathing example of the grace and mercy of God. I mean, he really just intervened in our lives.
Sure.
Yeah.
And what has Christianity meant to you now, being a CEO and being a thought leader and challenging other business leaders?
Yeah, well, I started my career as a shop assistant in a menswear store in South Auckland, which is kind of a rough neighborhood, with a zoology degree. So, you know,
that's kind of weird.
That's not good career advice. But the newfound faith, you know, this, you know, I was there when I came to Christ. The sort of last piece of my university years, and then was in this menswear store for a while. And you know, you don't start your career like that and end up running multinational companies without some divine intervention. And so my life has always been, you know, what are we doing today, Lord? So I really surrendered every area of my life. Not coming out of a church background, I didn't realize you were meant to segment things. I didn't realize you were meant to have, you know, some holy things, sacred things, and some things that God wasn't interested in.
Which is actually wrong.
Absolutely, totally, right? Totally. So, I, you know, my view has always been that if you have a relationship with Jesus, it should impact every area of your life.
Amen.
How you raise your kids, how you do life with your spouse, partner, how you work, all those sort of things. And I believe, particularly in the workplace, I found a lot of segmentation. I knew great Christian people who ran businesses in a very non-Christian way.
Mm.
And that confronted me a lot. And I've sort of wrestled with, how do you integrate your faith into your work? How do you make, and I think Monday matters to God. I think we're all anointed and appointed and placed in the workplace, you know, for a reason and for a purpose. Mm. And that our true vocation, our true exercise of our faith should be wherever he's placed us, whatever he's called us to do, whether that's as a church leader or whether it's as a taxi driver or whether it's a, you know, a lawyer, an accountant, or a CEO.
Yeah. And then talk to us, because I can't help but see that part of your story of hope is you doing what you're passionate about, you following in the thing that God has called you to.
Yes.
And doing so in a way that is just impacting lives. So talk to us about people who are struggling to find their passion. Yeah. And then also that thing of what you said about that our relationship with Jesus Christ should impact every area of our life.
Yes. I think a lot of people are looking, waiting for the call, and usually to go off on the mission field or go, you know, get trained to go to theology college and go into, you know, some sort of ministry, if you like, mm-hmm. in the church sense of the word. And yet I believe a lot of people, if we just thought about God, wherever he's placed us right now, and if we operate with excellence and integrity where he's placed us in our day-to-day job, we'd see that as a mission field. We'd see that as a place where we can be guided by the Holy Spirit. We can impact those around us. We can serve. We can create. You know, I think work in its ultimate form is it's worshipful. But we need to have the mindset of God's interested in my everyday, not just in what I do on a Sunday.
Mm. Sure.
We'll find more purpose.
Yeah,
just doing what we're doing.
So what would you say to that person who hates their job?
Yeah.
You know, they love Sundays because it's a time when they're in the presence of God and with fellow believers, but come Monday morning, they're dreading.
Yes. Well, it might be a number of things. Might be a heart position around not feeling that your Christianity is in the church environment, and then you sort of rush out into the evil world and do the minimum you have to do to get by. And then come back into the church, whereas actually, and that's a very much a lifeboat mentality. Whereas churches should be much more like a landing craft. You know, they should be the place where we get pushed out, educated into going out into our vocation. So sometimes you can be in the right place with the wrong attitude, and you know, asking God to say, "Well, what is it you want me to do this Tuesday afternoon?"
Mm.
Praying before you go into a meeting. Sometimes, you know, workplaces are pretty rough, and they can be, you know, quite difficult places to operate in. But God can use that. You know, if we're aware of God's presence in the midst of that, how we respond, he can use it to help shape us and mold us and help us to grow. And that's often the way that he shapes us and helps us become more like him is in the pressure cooker. Sure. It's in the fire. It's in the, you know, the potter's wheel is not a pleasant place to be. And just when you get the shape right, you're stuffed in the fire. I mean, it's it's not a good metaphor. But and workplace, if we recognize God is with us in the midst of it, even if it's tough, can be somewhere where not only we can have an impact, but it can impact us for good as well.
And to that person who feels like they are in the fire and have been in the furnace for a long time now, what did you say to that person?
Yeah, look, we all have to hear from God. Sometimes he calls us to stay and sometimes he calls us to go. And you just have to, and everybody's journey is different. Mm. Only that person can only just get with God again and ask him, do you want me to stay, do you want me to go? And if it's stay, stay, and if it's go, go.
Mm. How has your personal relationship with Jesus Christ impacted your wife and your kids?
Yes, well, you'd have to ask them, I guess. That would be
the right way to do it.
Look, you know, I really believe God has helped me start a new dynasty and break generations of abuse. My father was who he was because of the environment he was raised in as well. And, you know, and through God's intervention, you know, seeing my kids raised in a Christian home is such a privilege. Mm. And I married really, really well. I mean, I married a spectacular woman. So, you know, she's very patient, loves the Lord, and you know, she's an amazing woman. So we've been together for 27 years, and the kids are all finished school now, so a new phase of life for us as well.
Mm. Mm. Mark, thank you so much for sharing your incredible story of hope. It's really so encouraging, and thank you also for just your passion. I truly believe and concur with what you said, that people need to hear personally from God. And there are obviously some things that the Bible's very clear on, so it's not a case of should I stay married, you know, because the Bible's clear. There are obviously, you know, abuse, there's a situation with regard to that, but otherwise, you know, the Bible's clear also in terms of his love for us and that we are to love one another. But always the practical working out of that is not always easy.
For sure. It's a journey.
It is a journey. Yeah. Maybe I can ask you just to end off with a prayer, because we regularly see WhatsApp and SMS messages from our listeners saying how they struggle in their work environment. It's, you know, because of bad managers, because of colleagues that are vindictive towards them, or even bullying in the workplace. So would you pray for us, please? Pray for our city, pray for our country.
You know, Christians are the most powerful people in any organization, because we can bring heaven to earth.
Sure.
That's a powerful thing.
That is a powerful thing.
I'll pray for it. That'd be great.
Thanks.
Father, we thank you that you've placed each one of us in a workplace, in a sphere of influence, where we have people in our world, Lord, that are that don't know you. And Lord, I pray for each one of us as we go about our daily work, that we'd be aware of your presence, Lord, that you'd help us to bring heaven to earth, to understand what it is that you're wanting to do and pray that in. Lord, help us to work with excellence, to work with integrity, to be a testimony of what it is of to have a transformed life serving you. And Father, help us to do things your way and trust you for the outcome, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Thanks, Mark.
Pleasure.
CCFM 107.5.